Yeah, well, good morning. I was just going to be honest with you. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to preach, but I'll try my best. Wednesday afternoon, I started with a sore throat and these infirmities that float around here tried to knock me down, but... So I had a real struggle yesterday. And I do not understand why I'm sharing this morning. And to me, that makes it so much harder. But I am convinced that that's where God wants us to be. That's where faith comes in. And I'll try to share this without... I just have to trust the Lord to help me have a clear voice and clear mind and be able to convey this to you all. So let's just pray and ask God's presence to be here. Father, we come to you this morning and we just do not understand your ways all the time. We just ask and come bowing and praying, Lord, that you will strengthen me. I want to share what you put on my heart and let the words of God do a work in each one of our lives so that we can be closer drawn to you and to maybe, as our brother Jeriah shared this morning, have that seal more visible on our life. Father, we do just pray that you, the things that I share can be a help. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you just give me the courage to rise above my own feelings and to forget myself and just to share what you laid on my heart. And even though I don't understand it, Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's listening that it'll help them along life's way. Father, we do ask that you just be here in the midst and work among us as you already have this morning. Especially pray, Lord, that you be with my throat so it doesn't give out till I'm done. Just commit that to you. My voice, just be with us, guide us, and direct us. Amen. That was probably a couple weeks ago that this started. That first came to my mind, and I thought about it, and I read it a couple times, and just meditated on it, and just tried to think about this. How could we take this and portray it in a way that's a blessing to everyone that hears it? Some of the things that I was writing might seem like I'm blaming you or blaming myself. Let's not take it that way, but let's take it as a word from God. Because as we all know, especially Brother Joseph and his family, sometimes it seems we're on the threshold of a lot of changes in the next couple months. So I'm thinking about this, and I thought, well, maybe this is something that I can share to all you that, for us here at Grace Christian Fellowship, and also for all you that are thinking of relocating. I'm not saying that you need to stay here. Probably the thing that mostly that I want to share is wherever you find yourself and whatever church setting you are, that you have a true shepherd. And that's Jesus Christ. So with all that, I'm going to read a portion in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 34. You can turn there. And I was so blessed already this morning with the opening and the children's lesson. So many things bring back memories. Just think of those baseball cards I was brought back. Took me back to my boyhood elementary schools. That was a big thing back then. I don't even realize that my children even know this. I'm not sure I ever shared it with them. But the thing that there was that we'd trade. All the boys would have baseball cards. And yeah, here's just a simple, I'm going to be, this is reality. So my friend would have Babe Ruth, okay? Well, how many cards are you going to give me for him? So maybe I'd give him 5 or 10. And right there, it tells you, the famous ones had a higher value than the lesser ones. So in order to get a real famous one, you had to really give out what you, maybe almost all your cards. That's the way it worked. Very simple thing, but it's just worldly idols. You know, some of those guys were famous, made a lot of money, but they've come and gone. Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the one that was here. He died, but he came back to life, and he's here today. That's the one that we should follow. And just a little word of, there was something that went through my mind as Moses was sharing. Oh, I just wanted to, with you younger ones or youth, if you feel mom and dad are always strict, if you feel mom and dad are always picking on you, the only reason they do that is they love you. And so if they haven't, they probably told you that, but I'm going to tell you now again, it's because they love you. That's why they do it. It's not because they want to be hard on you. They're concerned for you. Whatever that's worth, please take that to heart. So let's start reading here in Ezekiel. I'm going to read through here starting in verse 11. And I'll probably read the rest of the chapter, but as I read the verses, I have some thoughts that came to me concerning the verses. And I know they were sort of like a prophecy, or God was given this to Ezekiel as a prophecy or whatever, but I just felt it was, you know, we can take the Old Testament, we can take the New Testament, and we can compare them together. And I don't know, I asked the Lord to help me write some thoughts down concerning these verses, and he did some, so I don't know how long it'll be, but I'll go until my voice gives out. Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I..." Did you catch the word behold? It says, take heed, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And I had to think of the verse where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Have you ever experienced the cloudy and dark days? God is the God of light. Jesus is, I am the light of the world. Jesus came that we don't have to dwell in the cloudy and dark days. He came that we can have that light shining upon our lives. Just the beauty of the, this is just the beauty of a true shepherd seeking out his sheep and taking care of them. 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And in John 10, verse 9, see if I'll just, John is so packed with just things of the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that a beautiful thing that we can do that? And I think what that's pertaining to is, I know the Lord will take care of us, and he'll never forsake each one of us if we're his children. But as we feed on the fat grass, I like to think as we feed on the Word of God, it's packed with life and direction for our lives and things. As we feed on the Word of God, we can go in and out. We can go about our day. We can come in at night, and we can be fed with the Word of God, and God will feed us and satisfy our souls. Then he goes on, he says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. And so I just got done reading that as we go in and out, and we have fat pasture, we have plenty to eat, we have everything that's nourishing. And then I read that he says, I will destroy the fat and the strong. I want your minds to just take a little journey there. I think I'll read a couple more verses and then I'll comment on that. 18. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. Excuse me. Verse 18 there, continuing. And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, sorry, Isaiah, you'll have some editing to do there. 19, and as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Okay, let's stop there and get a couple thoughts here. Says he will judge between the, in verse 17, between the rams and the he-goats. And referring to Matthew 25, verse 32 and 33, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. What he's saying here, I believe, is that, say we found the Lord, we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, And as we're walking through this life, we're going to be, we can't help but that we are in this world. And we'll be mingling with the goats, so to speak. It's a known fact. That's people that are not Christians. And in the last day, I just want to bring this in that I believe God will divide. He will do the judging on that. He will divide the sheep from the goats. Okay, I think I'm going to do a couple more verses there. 21. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Do ye sometimes feel that as a Christian? Do you feel the world is pushing you about? God says, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more a prey, and I will just judge between cattle and cattle. Now, what am I doing to save the lost? Or bring back the wayward, heal the brokenhearted, strengthen the sick, the sick ones. Sounds like a hospital, doesn't it? And I just marvel at when I look at Brother Dale's life, and it just feels like that's all he's doing all the time, is reaching out to the sick, the pushed about, the trodden down, the cast out. May that be our goal too. But he says, but he is saying he will destroy the fat and the strong. Who are these? These are some of my thoughts, and just take it with a grain of salt. Because I'm right there with it. Is it not them who have it all figured out and are complete opposite of a humble and a contrite spirit? Verse 17 tells us they will be together until the last day. In Matthew 25, 28, 32, and 33 is what I've read. And that's something that I will, if you ever feel that I feel that I come across that it feels like I have it all figured out and everything, I want you to, as a brother in the Lord, put a roadblock in my way. Just tell me. Are you sure about this, Marcus? I never want to get to that place. I know there's a fine balance there. We have to know where we stand. We have to know who we believe. And we have to know where our faith is in. But maybe I'm reacting of my growing up years. I don't know. But it seems. Sometimes it seems I was surrounded with that. And it scares me. That might have shaped my life more than I realize. So let's be careful. And then, interestingly, verse 18. Going to read that again. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? Must But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastors, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must follow the residue with your feet. And I got the picture of Christians mingling with worldly people, or so-called Christians. And it seems sometimes there's some that, as they share their thoughts and the things that they, and see, I'm talking to myself, that I'm so strong into, and that I know where I'm at, that it actually treads down the good grass for the true believer as he's eating. And it muddies the waters of the clear crystal water that God wants us to drink from. And we have to live in that situation. Those are the people that God will judge. He'll judge us too. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. But of what spirit am I? Of what spirit do I portray? Am I the one that runs into this nice green clover grass? And I just, instead of being satisfied and just eating this lush green grass, I just run in a circle. I run here, I run there. I drink a little bit, then I run through the water, and I do this and I do that. It's a picture of a very, very unsettled spirit. And as the people do that amongst us, or even in the world, I even had to think of at the store. I'm not sure why God put me there, but I can look at it negatively, or I can look at it positively. Sometimes I just accept it and say, it's a good teacher. Just the people you deal with, and this is behind the scenes where nobody knows about it. The dealings and the things that go on and everything like that, just the thrust that some people have to come up on top. And it's just, they don't care. They don't have feelings or anything, it seems like. As long as they get the better deal. They'll trod down the good grass. They'll drink the muddy, or clear water, make it muddy. That's the picture I'm trying to portray. Hope it makes sense. But right in the midst of this, if our shepherd is the good shepherd, God wants to give us the clean, the good stuff, the clear water, the good grass. And he satisfies our soul. What happens when you're filled? You're satisfied, right? There's just so many examples that God brings in our human, in our lives, that oftentimes I think, you know, even with the experience I had with a little bit of farming, a couple of years that I did and everything like that, it was just the, if your flock is satisfied, if they have everything they want, they're calm, they're content, they're at rest, they're at peace. But as soon as maybe they don't have enough grass to eat, or you might short them a little bit on the feed or something like that, what happens? They start bawling and making a racket and the fuss. You could just sense the uneasiness, the unrest. And so it's just yeah. God wants his children to be at peace and to be at rest. Okay. Oh, I never got to where I was going. Verse 18 actually refers to Numbers 16, 9 through 13, and you can read that sometime. It talks about the rebellion of Korah and his company, how that the earth swallowed them up. That was just heart-searching when I read that. You know, here they were going through the wilderness, and Korah and his followers rose up against Moses. And read it sometime when you get time, your quiet time or whatever. And God told them, separate yourself from this people. And the earth opened up and swallowed them. Do you think it's serious? If we have a rebellious attitude, if that doesn't convince you, we'll keep praying for you. God hates rebellion. It's a terrible thing that happened. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know. All of a sudden, an earthquake or something, it just, and those rebellious people fell in there, and it came back together. It says that children of Israel trembled, and that would make us tremble too. But we have it so nice in this day and age, so comfortable, that we don't even think about those things sometimes. Okay, let us be careful not to have a spirit like that. And then, now let's finish the chapter. 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Is prophesying of David. He was a true shepherd, if there ever was one besides Jesus. 25, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. It's a picture of beauty, peace, and quietness. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. We all know that song, don't we? And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. They shall be no more to be a prey to the heathen. Neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Okay, backing up, I have here verse 20 and 21. Just a little. I should have got this first, but anyway. It's talking about, 21 says, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. I'd like to turn to Luke. Luke 13, 12 through 17. And I just want to point out a characteristic of this, what God was talking about here in this. There was a woman that had the spirit of infirmity 18 years. Verse 12, it says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Why do I refer that to what I just read back in Ezekiel 20 and 21? Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. I believe that's where this woman was. Why was she there? She was there because of God's chosen people. Get the focus on because Jesus healed on the Sabbath or not, but it's the spirit in which this ruler of the synagogue accused Jesus. And this is where I believe it comes very close home. In the setting I grew up, is this attitude, this ruler of the synagogue, he was so zealous of keeping the Sabbath holy. It was with that spirit that he condemned Jesus. Because he was saying, you are wrong doing this good thing on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. He was doing it faithfully. This ruler of the synagogue, he was a perfect man in his religious thinking. He was doing everything right. Then this happened, and this really upset him. Those are the things where I feel, 21 says, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns. Is that where we are? As a Christian, and there's people hurting and coming, maybe even crawling to have help, to find help. But because of this or because of that, I push them down. I push them out. I tread on them. I say, you're not good enough. Rise up. You can't be a part of here. I pray that God will never give any one of us in this church house that attitude. God has given us so much that he washed away our sins, made us his children, and he wants us to share that with all humanity. The righteousness that we have ourselves only comes through Jesus Christ in his death on the cross so that we can be righteous. And we need to portray that to a lost and dying world. That it's only through Jesus Christ, not we of ourselves. Is Jesus our true shepherd? I'm going to end with the New Testament scriptures. As I think of the last part of that chapter of Jesus being the people's shepherd, the guide, Well, David was actually a prince of for the children of Israel. And God used David in a mighty way. And then, yes, he... as I shared earlier, John has a lot of beautiful things about the true shepherd. So that's where I want to go right now. Just touch a couple things. In John 12, these scriptures are not new. Some of you have them memorized maybe. But it's just the picture of Jesus. John 12, verse 44 through 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Remember what I read earlier about a country where there was darkness? Jesus is calling us out of that. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Listen, this is Jesus' own words. He's saying, "I judge him not if you don't believe on me. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Jesus came to die for us. The word of God was already here, and it was always already established. All Jesus was doing was sharing what his Father told him to share. But the main thing that Jesus came was to die for us. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." See, even Jesus is free from... He can take that responsibility and push it to God the Father. Because God the Father was the one that established the word. All Jesus did was come and die for us. And preach too, but he spoke only what God told him to. Because he goes on 49, he says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." I want us all to consider, what shepherd are we following? Is it Jesus the true shepherd, or is it something else? And when I say someone, something else, I think someone else. Somebody that claims to have had a better revelation than what the Bible says. On and on you could go. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, all kinds of Christian groups or whatever. Just the thing of Mormons, and I might get in trouble if I share this, but it's obviously, you know, here Joseph Smith, right, had this revelation from God, Salt Lake City, Utah, where the Mormons established or whatever. So how do we know he's not true, or how do we know he's false? Well, number one, what do you know Mormons about? Anyone want to venture a call? What comes to your mind when you think of Mormons? Not in today's day, but when it started? Polygamy. Does that line up with the Bible? It doesn't. Very simple. God says there shall be one man, one wife. One man, one woman. So why would we want to believe something outside of the Bible? That's just a little example. John 14, 21 through 28. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." What does manifest mean? It means clearly, show clearly, make plain. If we love Jesus, if we love God, if we love his word, he will make clearly, he will make plain his direction. His what he wants us to do. And then here we go on, and we're, you know, the disciples were men just like me and you. Jesus saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You know, that was his question right away. How are you going to make plain to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus and God wants to dwell with us. They want to abide with me. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Here Jesus is again saying, the word which ye hear is not mine, but it's the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world doesn't have peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Do we have that peace, or are we troubled, very unrestful, always needing to do something, or always planning some next event, or whatever you want to put in there? Maybe it's because I'm getting older that I'm not enough energetic to keep up with all the young people. But I just, as I look across the horizon and the future and just see the, sometimes it just really troubles me. Where's that rest, that peace, where we can just sit down somewhere and literally sit there and just meditate on God and not be distracted with any cell phone, laptop, notifications? Where is that? In today's world. I don't know. And I think the mark of the beast, here's my thoughts on some of those things. I believe it's in progress already. Satan will not, boom, all of a sudden here's the mark of the beast. He will slowly slide that in. And if we are not careful, we will be swept right along with it. I just had to think, Jariah, here's my thoughts too about, you know, God puts a seal on his children's forehead. And here comes Satan behind and tries to imitate it. The mark on the forehead or on your right hand. He tries to imitate what Jesus, true and holy, is. Let's finish with John 15. I know I was just jumping through these couple chapters, but 11 through 22. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Do you have the joy of the Lord in you? Oh, that would be... We can have that today, but in the day to come, when we pass from this life into the eternal life in Jesus Christ, it will be such greater joy that we will. 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Do we want to be a friend of Jesus? Let's do what he tells us to. Henceforth, I call you not servants. See, Jesus doesn't even want us to be servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I'm sorry, here I go again. But yesterday at Four Corners, these are just things that manifest themselves unbeknownly to the workers or anybody as I, you know, go about my day. I just said, huh, should I put the fry pies over there where the baked goods were, because we were pretty well sold out of baked goods and we had some fry pies left over. And one of the workers just said, why do you ask us if you're going to do it anyway already? This is what it says. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. That's what she, I mean, she didn't know it, but that's what it just clearly made it clearly to me. But yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Why do I even ask you? I don't want to look at my workers as servants. Please forgive me for that. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus has chosen us and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I commend you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So don't be surprised if the world hates you. If you were of the world would love his own. There we go. It's as plain and simple as can be. Which path are we choosing? But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, here's the key verse, they had had not sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Meditate on that verse for a while. If Jesus had not come and spoken them the truth, they would not have sin. But now have they no, there's no cloak to hide in. They have, because if we're not doing what God wants us to do, living a pure, clean Christian life, there's sin in your life probably. Because it's not because I stand here and share it. It's because the Word of God is established. And just like Jesus, we can say, even if we're sharing to someone, it's not Marcus's words, it's God's word. This is who you're going to answer to. This is who I'm going to answer to. So Lord bless you all. Hope I didn't confuse any of you. But and those that are planning on moving and stuff, I want you always to feel welcome to come back. And Lord willing, we'll be able to visit you wherever you're at, maybe. Serbia. It'd be a blessing if the Lord opens the doors there, but we'll see once. But I realize Brother John shared something yesterday was a full day. Brother Joseph, I pray that you are encouraged. I pray that you're blessed. I would have almost gave up as long as that auction lasted. But, yeah, the Lord has his ways and everything. But as we go forward, we can look at it negatively or we can look at it positively. My encouragement is all, and myself, to look at it positively with the Lord's help. God bless you.